Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In places like the Middle East, it takes a common denominator to overcome the chaos of us versus them. Negotiations and dialogue aren't enough. Today, why the cross of Christ is the only unifying link that can ever work. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in a series on Christians, politics, and the cross, Erwin Lutzer is in Ephesians chapter 2, tracing divisions between people back in the time of Christ.
There was also another division, even within the Jewish race, and that was, of course, the gender division. You know that women were not allowed either in the inner sanctum of the temple, and Jewish men used to pray, "Shame on them," but they used to pray, "I thank thee, God, that I am not a woman." You talk about the oppression of women and inequality and the whole idea that the woman exists simply to serve the man. That has a long history, as long as the history of the human race with its sin. Here's the way Paul described the Gentiles. I'll pick it up in verse 12 of Ephesians 2. "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Sad state of affairs. Do you sense the heartache? Do you sense the rejection? And yet, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The cross that you and I take into the world is a cross that unifies. It brings together, it breaks down barriers, and it makes people one. Now, with your Bibles open, I want you to notice that Paul uses that word "one" four times, and if you're in the habit of underlining your Bible, you could at this point underline that word. Verse 14, "He himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." Middle of verse 15, "In him he might make the two into one." There it is again, new man, thus establishing peace. Verse 16, "and might reconcile them both in one," underline the word "one" body to God through the cross. 18, "for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." Now, Jesus did not artificially create this unity. It was a unity that actually broke down the walls of mistrust and hostility. What did he do? We already read the text where he says in verse 14, "He broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity," which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, "that in himself he might make into one new man," the both of them in one. He broke down the wall. And the wall that he broke was, first of all, the law which divided Jews and Gentiles, all of those regulations. I am so glad I don't live in the Old Testament era. I did not live back there. I'd rather live today. All of the things that they could eat and couldn't eat. And God was saying, "You're a special people and you're going to be separate." And now with the coming of Jesus Christ, he says that that wall has been broken down because the law is taken away in that Jesus Christ on the cross met its demands. It is no longer the barrier that it was. But not only that, you know that that wall that I told you about before that said no foreigner shall enter into the temple area, perhaps that's what Paul had in mind as well. That was broken down. And then if that wasn't enough, the veil of the temple when Jesus Christ died was split in two from top to bottom. And Jesus was now saying that people of every race and color and creed can come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ and be received. He made God accessible for all of us. He made peace, the scripture says. He established it. And as I've already mentioned, this was not simply a peace treaty. It was not simply a matter of Jesus asking us to sign on. It was actually a peace that was born from within the human heart because the hostility was taken away. And the scripture says that in Jesus Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. That's the kind of cross that we take into the world. Now, in order to illustrate what Jesus actually did, you see, he not only broke down the wall, he decided also to build something brand new that no one had ever thought of before. You see, the hostility between Jew and Gentile, you have to understand, was about like the Jews and the Arabs today. Oh, it's more volatile today in some sense because we have the news media and we have new forms of weapons and we have new pipe bombs and what have you. But that's the kind of hostility. And if you've ever been in the Middle East, you know that there's no way you can somehow bring a rational dialogue to the table. And people can sign a peace treaty for the good of their countries and still viscerally hate each other. It's not the kind of peace that Jesus brought. He brought peace to the heart, and he took the hostility and put it away. Now, to illustrate what Jesus really did, the Apostle Paul gives us three figures of speech. Three figures of speech. Notice, first of all, verse 16, that he might reconcile them both in one body. One body. And you know that in 1 Corinthians, Paul gives an entire chapter illustrating what it means to have one body in Jesus Christ. And he's saying that, first of all, there is diversity. There are hands and ears, and there's a nose, and there's eyes, and one head. There's diversity. And the ear cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. I walk across this platform. It is my eyes that guide my feet. But when I arrive, I put out my hand, and I shake your hand. And it's all done in a very coordinated way. And Jesus said, that's the way we should be when the world looks at us. Coordinated. One. So there is diversity, but there is also interdependence. I can't get along without the different parts of my body. Even the parts of the body that you never see, the scripture says, are very, very necessary. Sometimes most necessary. And as we've already emphasized today, when we have ministry here at the church, it is oftentimes the people whom you don't see that make it happen. It is the greeters, it is the parking attenders, it is the people who are working behind the scenes to bake the cookies that Lee said we should all get in on at that concert time. It is all of these people doing things oftentimes unrecognized, even in secret, and it is that that makes it happen. Paul says this, that if you belong to Christ, you are a member of that body. You are a cell within the body, and you share the very same life. How did he do it? It says he made one new man, and you'll notice it says, through the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 16, he might reconcile them both in one body to God. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and to them that are near, for through him we both have access by the Spirit to the Father. There is not one Holy Spirit for African Americans, and another Holy Spirit for Asian Americans, and then another one for Anglo Americans. None of that, none of that. Same Spirit, same life, same cells and same head in heaven. And Jesus said that if you love me and serve me, you will be coordinated, that the world may marvel at your unity. Second figure of speech, you are a new nation. He goes on to say, verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens. You actually have a passport. You know, none of this business of trying to just hang on to a green card. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and with a household of God. And what he's saying is that in the Old Testament, if you asked the identity of a person, he would always go back to his roots. There were three sons of Noah. There was Shem, and there was Ham, and there was Japheth. And from those three sons, the entire human race has come. And those divisions were important, and that was your identity. But we get to the book of Acts, and what do we discover? First of all, there is a man who is a Shemite, and he's converted. His name is the Apostle Paul. Paul is Jewish, and Paul is converted. And then you have a descendant of Ham, the Ethiopian treasurer, who's on his way to Ethiopia, and he, you recall, is converted. And then, of course, there are those who come to us from Japheth. That represents in the New Testament Cornelius, and those of us who are of European descent. And now our identity no longer is racial. Our identity is, he says, that we are of the household of God. That means that we have the very same Father. We have the same brother, namely Christ, and the same companion, namely the Holy Spirit. And that's what the new nation is all about. We can admire ethnicity. It has its advantages to help us to understand the contributions of the various cultures. But the minute you walk into the doors of a church where Christ is preached and where believers have come to saving faith in Christ, you have lost your ethnicity as being your identifying mark, and you are now a member of the household of God. Jesus said, "Who is my mother and my brother and my sister? But those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." My dear friend, isn't it wonderful to know that we are indeed one in Jesus Christ? It's so important for us to remember the basics. The fact is that we belong to the body of Christ and we represent Him in this confused world. We're living at a time when there is a great deal of political talk, accusations, counter-accusations. All kinds of things are happening, and there is noise and there is buzz. It's time for us as Christians sometimes to just turn off the news and to remember who we are. I've written a book entitled Christians, Politics, and the Cross, an urgent plea for the church to return to its mission. That doesn't mean that politics isn't important. My point is simply that it is not all important. That's why I've written Christians, Politics, and the Cross, an urgent plea for the church to return to its mission. This book can be yours.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Cross, the Basis for Reconciliation, another message in a series on Christians, Politics, and the Cross. We need to think biblically and remember where our true allegiance lies. Pastor Lutzer wants each listener to have his new book, Christians, Politics, and the Cross. It's yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.